Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview, the final Irish Racing Preview of 2013. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding as ever to look ahead to the Punchestown card. How's things, Andy?
Morning, Alex. Yes, wet and soggy where I am anyway. So not sure what it's going to be like in Punchestown today, but pretty much like everywhere, the ground's going to be very, very, very testing.
Well, it usually is an island, isn't it?
Yeah, usually.
Not many meetings go by without soft in the description, put it that way.
No, we didn't have too many soft or heavy ground meetings until sort of like the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's really changed quite badly with the rains coming. Up until then, it was pretty much good to soft everywhere. And we were treated to some unseasonal weather. But yeah, it's taken a turn for the worse. It's going to be attritional stuff.
It will. The official going in the Racing Post is heavy today.
Choppy in places.
Yeah, I'd imagine it will take some getting a few of these races. Only the first race though is a 3 miler, so I suppose maybe not as bad for some of them as you'd think. Not the strongest card today, but certainly an interesting runner in the 145. Boston Bob makes his seasonal reappearances. His seasonal reappearance, I should say, over hurdles.
Yeah, he's running twice, is he?
Yeah, he's in every race, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah,
Andy.
He is, yeah. Goodness me. Yeah, he's the star of the show, isn't he? Sort of class-wise, interesting that Willie Mullins has decided to run him back over hurdles first time up, perhaps get a bit of confidence back into him after those two crunching fall at the two festivals. But I actually think the best race today is the first race, to be honest. I think that's which we'll deal with first. That probably has got the best collection of horses together. You know, one or two promising types are in that race.
Okay, then. A nice link there, Andy. You're doing my job for me there.
I know. I do try.
We'll kick things off at 12:45 with a beginner's chase over 3 miles. As you mentioned, this is quite a nice race. There's certainly some pretty exciting prospect in here. Which one do you fancy?
Well, I quite like Touch the Eden. I certainly think he ran in the best race of these so far to date, or showed up as prominently as one or two others did in their respective races. Anyway, I tipped Fox Rock the other day in the Topaz Novices Chase at Leopardstown, and although he didn't win, I thought he covered himself with glory with an excellent run in third. So I touched the Eden to only get beaten three quarters of a length by Ted Walsh's Charge first time over fences. I thought it was a pretty good return. He got some good form last season in soft ground, decent hurdles, including that fourth in the Grade 2 behind Bright New Dawn at Thurley, so he's got a touch of quality as well. And provided he can jump a clear round today in today's attritional conditions, of course, Ruby Walsh is just the man to achieve such a feat. Certainly think he's the one to beat on form. He'd probably be my selection. I'd certainly pay huge respect to Marlbrook, who also showed quite encouragingly first time up over fences behind Champagne Fever. Again, that race was a good time. And Rogue Angel, who was fourth in that race, is another one to mention as well in favourable terms, because he's a fairly consistent horse. And although he isn't probably as classy as the other two, the one thing I do notice with Maz Morris when he puts blinkers on horses, they seem to have a very galvanising effect. There's a couple of horses this season that have had the headgear on. Tinnakilly Lad for one, and a horse at Ballydusk, of course, who ran at Leopardstown the other day. Both of those two horses, blinkers on first time out, and they both won at very big prices. So when the aides do go on one of races for the first time, they're always worth a second look. So if you wanted an each-way alternative, then he's probably the one around about 7 or 8 to 1. But I'll stick with Touch the Eden. having any handles or conditions. Certainly think he's got the best form. He's the classiest horse in the race.
Okay, then Touch the Eden in the 12:45. Next up is the 1:15, a handicap chase over 2 miles. Pretty open this, Andy. Luke's Benefit heads the market at the time of recording, and he'll be looking to follow up his win at Fairy House last time, but that was over hurdles.
Yeah, it was, although he took this race last year over fences. He's probably better renowned for being a chaser. He does mix it nowadays, but yeah, largely his form over the larger obstacles is what we should stick to. And as I said, he took this race 12 months ago in pretty dogged fashion. It was a difficult race to assess, going out in the last was 4 or 5 in with a chance, and he came out on top. That's a good thing about Luke's Benefit. He does stay really strong. You look through his career record, particularly at Punsestown and Fairy House, his two favourite tracks. All these wins have come on a real desperate deep surface.
Won it the year before as well, Andy. He's actually looking for the hat-trick here.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you pointed it out. Yeah, he also won it before. So he clearly comes well at this time of year. He goes on every ground. He jumps soundly. His game is the day's long. So if you just wanted to uncomplicate the race or not uncomplicate the race, then he'd probably be the one. Also noticed at a much bigger price that What's on the Menu, an infrequent winner, was also third in the race last year as well. He only got beat half a length. It was a bit of a wild finish. So, and much bigger odds. He's won perhaps the Cunza with. Of course, John Berry's Wallace trainer has had a recent success with Kuta Mondra, who took the Troy Town chase at Navan earlier on in the month. So with that stable going quite well, he's probably one worth a look at a bigger price. And also Troll de Dairies as well. Now, he'd be a serious interest in this race to me if there was an extra perhaps 2 furlongs or an extra half mile, because he's probably more renowned for staying 2.5/3 miles. But interesting, Martin Brazel drops him back in trip. He obviously feels as though he's got the tools to go very close here, and he actually comes out really well on the speed figures. That race of the day behind Oscar's Business over 2.5 at Navan reads quite well on the numbers. That was a really good circuit time that day. They were only just slightly slower than Sizing Gold, who took the graded race on the same card. So he's not without a chance. But I do think the two that I mentioned, the second and the winner and the third in last year's race, are the two to concentrate on. Luke's Benefit and a much bigger prize, What's on the Menu.
Okay then, Luke's Benefit and What's on the Menu there in the 1:15. The next race that we'll look at is the 1:45. It is a hurdle over 2.5 miles. And this is the race that Boston Bob makes his seasonal reappearance. As you mentioned, over hurdles. Murad looks the main danger, also trained by Willie Mullins. After that, you've got some respectable enough horses, but surely that they shouldn't be coming close to Boston Bob, even if he isn't fully tuned up.
No, you're right, they shouldn't be really. But it all depends on what kind of state of mind he's in, and also what level of fitness Willie Mullins has got him in after that break. Of course, we haven't seen him since last April when he took another fall on top of a bad fall at Cheltenham, so his confidence obviously shot to pieces a little bit. It's a good move by Willie as well, just to keep him off, away from the big guns early doors, and just build his confidence gradually. He should be good enough to take this, as you say. 2.5 miles, absolutely bang on. In fact, he's never won beyond 2.5 miles. So even though he's been running well over 3, he's running over his ideal conditions today. Certainly not perfect. In a perfect world, he'd want to be running on heavy ground first time out, but he's got to start somewhere. So for those of you that like to take a bit of a risk and back a short price favourite who's got the class angle covered, then he'd be the one for you. It's not really much of a betting race for me. If you held a gun to my head, I'd probably go with Unbow Martin and perhaps do a little bit of a forecast combination bet with the favourite with him, because he's won around the track before. That was his only career victory in Ireland. That came over 2.6 miles on heavy ground, so conditions not a problem. And I also thought he ran really creditably towards the back end of last season in that good race at the Punchestown Festival won by the Paparazzi Kid. Now, that was a really good number, that race. It was one of the strongest run handicaps of that five-day festival. And although he only finished sixth, under the weight that he had, I thought it was a decent return. He's already showed a fair level of form this season. He finished fourth first time out. You know, he got a grade two race, albeit he did get well beat in the end. Unfortunately, he fell the other day, so we didn't get a chance to see how he built on that first run. But this looks ideal. With the Gordon Elliott team in good form, I thought Unbow Martin might be the one at slightly bigger odds if he didn't want to back the short price favourite.
Okay then, next up is the 2:15. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Some interesting runners here, Andy. Adriana de Mott is the choice of Ruby Walsh of Willie Mullins runners. And she was improving in France, but comes up against horses here. Indian Icon is a pretty solid yardstick in these kind of events. Ashjar makes his Irish debut, and Halling's Treasure was an okay horse over on the flat in England. If he could translate any form, you know, over hurdles, then he'd have to be of interest. What do you fancy here?
I think it's a race that's hard to be very dogmatic, isn't it? When you've got short price or potential short price favourite trained by William Mullins that we don't know a lot of, other than he obviously has got plenty of soft ground form in Auto in France. And of course, he's owned by Rich Ritchie as well, which suggests that, you know, Connections thought it was worth acquiring this horse as well. As you mentioned, you've covered all the bases on the ones that I was going to throw my cap in the ring with. Ashjar, also a horse from France that used to be trained by Alain Deroute de Pré. And then you've got Eric de Grey, who's Richard Fye, he's also on the flat in England, of course, got plenty of soft ground form. Halley's Treasure. I know that the Quinns were having a half a look at him, John Quinn and Sean Quinn, because we were at the sales together, and this horse definitely was a little bit of a thought. Well, we had a bit of a thought process regarding him. We were just a little bit worried about whether the ground might be an issue with him being by Halling, and all his best form was on a faster surface. Up to date, Indian Icon hasn't really proved that he's going to be anywhere near as good as Arcona. He faded quite badly last time out behind Jidargo. So the ones that have got the potential, and the ones that have had a run so far against the favourite, have all got like suspect profiles.
Okay then, so Adriana de Mott, the pick there in the 2.15. Next up is the 2.45. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and looks pretty open, this one, Andy.
Yeah, it does. Bower are probably going to be very strong in the market here for Edna Bolger. 5-year-old just had the 2 runs. A winner already on heavy ground at Galway over 2 miles, standing very strongly that day. And then I thought an excellent race over this track, again over the minimum distance, behind the very useful the Game Changer from the Charlie Swan. So of course that horse ran with a distinction the other day in a graded race down at Leopardstown, off a mark of 120. Could be very dangerous, this Gilgan Bowen. Definitely worth a look in the market. But I think the most consistent horse in this race, and the one that I'm most interested in, I'm going to nap today actually, is a horse called Maria. A real tough, gritty 6-year-old mare who's been a model of consistency in the last 6 months stroke year. If you have a look at her form on soft ground, it certainly makes pretty reading. Her last seven races, she's been third, first, third, first, third, second, first, when she had all heavy ground to run on. And one of those runs last time out was when she occupied a place turn behind Hopping. That was at Navan. But that was over the minimum trip, and she was doing all her best work at the end to suggest stepping back up to today's distance of 2.5 miles will definitely suit. Prior to that, she'd won on Galway on the flat, staying on too strongly for Rory O'Moore in the latter stages. But all her best forms over this intermediate distance. And with Kat Harrison on board, who gets on really well with his 6-year-old mare, it's hard to see Moran not running well today, considering everything's in her favour. Trip great. Round track, I think we can expect a big run here from this mare.
Okay then, next up is the 3.15, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Certainly doesn't look the strongest race on the card here, Andy. Get Out When You Can would have to be of interest given Connections. And De Chisler will be looking to follow up his victory of just 4 days ago, but carries a penalty for that victory.
He does, yeah. I think they're very apt name, isn't it? Get Out When You Can. I think most horses in this race come 3.15 will be looking to do that. The ground's going to be very desperate. But this is going to be the selection here from the James Dullier stable. Horse that managed to win in attritional conditions down in Limerick the other day. I always think any horse that can win at Limerick when the ground's riding as bad as it was that day is certainly going to be worthy of interest next time out. Picks up a penalty, but I actually think that run the other day gives it a little bit of a fitness angle as well. Only 4 days ago, some of these have had a bit of a Christmas break and haven't run for a while, whereas this also will obviously have a bit of a fitness edge. Dangers, well, obviously Get Out When You Can has to be one. Chasing home the informed Tidy Zag. Last time at a Tremor course, Tidy Zag had gone there off the back of a win the time before, so he was up against a very well handicapped and informed opponent. Gotham Nice also can give him a mention as well. That run behind Bower throughout last time out is worthy of respect, but she has yet to win a race in 9 starts with any slight concern with her. But this thing to choose her here, if he can run up to the level the other day at Limerick, she'll be good enough.
Okay then, the final race on the card is a mare's bumper. Comes up at 3.45 with 2 miles and 2 furlongs the trip. no disrespect to any of the trainers in this race, but there's no heavyweights, if you like. We've not got a Noel Mead or a Willie Mullins in here. Does that pave the way for Ballycorus to land this one, Andy?
Well, I certainly think she's the most likely one on form. You know, that run beyond her to Kerr the other day at Navan was a decent return first time out. Interestingly, she jumped the last in fourth. She managed to outstay Beecher Felisa on the running as well to obtain the third position finish. So we know she's got a decent level of form already. The only problem is she's by King's Theatre, and that race she ran first time out was on good yielding ground. Now it's going to be a totally different ball game today, whether she'll handle these heavy conditions. Some of those King's Theatres wouldn't want an absolute slog in the mud. So your guess is as good as mine. The same comments can be made against the other form horse as well, Midnight Streaker. She's been by Midnight Legend, and most of that side offspring 10-1 decent ground. The fact that she's run three times in her career and shown her best form all on a decent surface as well also leads me to believe that she could be vulnerable today under heavy ground conditions. It's just so difficult to make an opinion or to have strong view in this race when you've got so many unknown quantities, so many horses coming from different angles. Which one's going to handle the conditions? Obviously, I'm going to have to go with Ballycorus because, you know, I'm a form man, I'm a speed figure man, and that run at Navan in the day over hurdles suggests she's got plenty of ability. We just hope and keep our fingers crossed that she can handle the ground.
Okay, then, Ballycorus, the pick there in the closer. Great stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Enjoy your new year. And we will catch up with you pretty soon into the new year, I believe. I'm not sure the exact dates, but we will speak to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.